What is up, guys? Welcome back after 9 days. 9 long days of me thinking, scheming, having a perspective, my internet buffering, doing stuff, and coming up with other ideas. Now, this week, after spending much time on the internet, as I'm chronically online, I come to the conclusion of where people lose their ability to not only convince themselves but convince others of why privacy matters, and maybe why privacy doesn't matter. And it kind of has something to do with right to repair. So I came to this conclusion based on the idea that privacy doesn't matter to people because we, for the last maybe 15, 20 years almost, we have put a lot of stuff out online and have gotten it for free. And because we have gotten it for free and because we put it out online, we essentially have been gifted to this idea that we shouldn't pay for our content. We shouldn't pay for apps. We shouldn't pay for stuff that we use every day. I think people even take maps for granted and the internet for granted. And I kind of understand why that might matter in a society where, you know, money could be the definitive factor between access and no access. Now, I think the internet should all, everyone should have access to the internet. I treat it like the library. Just like I treat privacy as a human right. I think that these are important things to contemplate. You know, libraries, not that they're dead or anything, but I think internet is a little bit easier, and the wealth of knowledge that you can parse through is much easier. I mean, we have a lot of tools that can make sure that the information we're getting is correct. As good as it is, and as bad as it is in today's society with the way we gather information, is somewhat complex, but the internet's not going anywhere. Now, when it comes to a consumer society, and it makes it very difficult to fix your problems, this is where I kind of intertwine the idea of why right to repair kind of correlates to why should I care about privacy? I have nothing to hide. And even people that I have talked to that agree with privacy, that's something that they always gravitate towards, is, well, I have nothing to hide. Well, it doesn't matter. You do have something to hide. You have lots of things to hide. And I think that's fine. I think it's okay to have things to hide. Now, whether they're illegal or not, or bad or good, is a different subject. I think people have things to hide. Your social security, email, your address, your phone number. I mean, a lot of these things identify you and can make you targets of scams, make you targets for annoyance, and so on and so forth. But most importantly, it also, the higher level privacy you have, whether you have something to hide or not, the overall better security you have, because then you're less likely to get phishing links. You're less likely to get scam calls and scam texts. The more you reduce the need for public information, is just about you, is just ultimately a better case, or apps that connect to the internet, apps that connect to the cloud. A lot of these things that I've done has made it so that I'm less reliant on the internet. Now, I use organic maps. The only internet access that I need is to download the country or state or city I'm going to. And I do that pre-ahead. I mean, I've pretty much downloaded as much as I can without clogging up as much storage. Now, it does require storage. Just like my podcasting app, just like my music app. I buy the music and I get the digital version. I download it to my phone and there we go. And I don't have to pay Spotify fucking $10 a month or Tidal or whoever and hand them all that information that's unnecessary and being probably sold on the back end to like 16 third parties. You know, that's the real thing is I'm trying to be as less reliant on that, but I'm also paying for this software somewhere. You know, free and open source software, whether it's through donations or they have a lifetime access subscription or it's a very inexpensive subscription. I'm generally against subscription services. I fucking hate them. But I'm trying to go against these big tech monopolies that give me nothing in return. Now, back to the main point. I believe anti-right to repair has led us just it, like privacy has led us to people caring less. Now, if I go get my phone fixed and my phone's screen cost me $400 to fix it, or they make it impossible for these repair shops or yourself to buy the part that fixes your phone, why on earth would I do that when I can just go finance a phone at no interest through XYZ Carrier or Best Buy or XYZ Place and just pay it off over 24 months, 36 months, whatever, or in increments in 5 months. And it would cost me maybe an extra $400. Now, financially, that sounds like an awful trade-off. But you already paid $800 for this device. Now you sink another $400 into buying it because Apple, Samsung, and all these other carrier phone manufacturers make it super expensive or damn near impossible to do it yourself and or through a vendor. Same thing with your laptops. Same thing with John Deere equipment. I mean, that's a whole rabbit hole to go down to. When these manufacturers design their product to make it expensive or impossible, you're just going to lean into consumerism. Well, my device is 2 years old. My tractor's 3 years old. My car's 5 years old. Why would I put that much money into it? Economically, it might be the better option. But no one thinks like that because it's a here and now perspective. And we can blame the spread of technology being faster and people wanting more and, you know, advertising, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not the point. The point is, when I hear I have to put $400, like my Pixel 6, my battery is $50, so fuck no, I'm not going to buy a new phone for that. That'd be retarded. But Google surprisingly made it very easy to replace my battery. It cost me $50 and an hour of my day. And 40 of that minutes of that hour was me scraping the adhesive off. That was probably the most annoying part. And reapplying it and making sure it's good. And it works. It's great. It was actually shocking how easy it was. And I've fixed phones before, but I haven't touched anything since. Maybe an iPhone XR or something. Like I had a buddy where he needed his XR fixed. And I was like, okay, I'll fix it. And it wasn't that hard. It was kind of annoying. Just like a 6 or like I think my LG, I fixed this front screen of an LG phone I had because it was like very easy. It was like $45-$50 for the parts and like the tools, and I just did it myself in an afternoon. Their phones are getting extremely harder and harder and harder to fix. And just like appliances and cars and all these other things, it's putting people in a position where they're like, I'm not going to keep this why should I? I've already put so much money and time into this. I just need something now. Again, other reasons, but can you blame them? If you told me I could fix my baseline phone, just do that. And baseline phone, say like, hey, we can fix your phone for $60. And say you have to go to a repair shop. You're like, I don't want to do it. All right, the repair store can get it at a reasonable price. Hey, we're only going to charge you because it takes me 5 minutes. With the part, we're going to charge you $100. That puts money into a local repair shop and gives them business and continues to employ them. That keeps e-waste out of the fucking landfill, and that puts money more back in your pocket. I spent only $100. I get to keep my device much longer. I end up not putting in the landfill, and I'm supporting a local business instead of handing money into these fucking $3 trillion industries that put these safeguards in place to protect their intellectual property or their product or their blah, whatever bullshit excuse they want to. This goes back to the privacy aspect of it. When people start to feel less and less of their privacy and their privacy and their freedom stripped away, they are going to care less about products that get them there. I mean, password managers exist. I had to convince people in my immediate life just to use good passwords. Use a password manager. Signal. I mean, I could go on, but their argument always comes back to one thing. Why should I care? Well, you should. Because at some point, you're going to run into a scenario where the cloud might not exist, the company might go out of business, and that goes into right to repair as well. If the company goes out of business and they spent decades not allowing other people to buy their parts and they just throw them away, you are now left with a defunct piece of shit paperweight not allowing you to essentially continue the product that you spent money on. I mean, I could be popping up ideas in my head every 5 minutes on why right to repair is such a massive W for consumers and businesses in a sense that allows them to trust them and their product. And there's definitely companies out there that make repairability much easier. So, you know, that is part of it, but it goes just back to privacy. It not only instills trust in the product, but it also allows you to, if that, say Adobe Cloud goes out of business and you hand them their dog shit $50 a month suite charge, and then the early cancellation fee, I think, that they force you to pay if you cancel within like 2 months. Or your cloud provider starts deleting stuff because they can't afford the storage. Whatever you want to go, a lot of these products are free. And it's worse when these products are free and then they're selling your data in the back end to analytics. We allow ourselves to then be so reliant on these, you're kind of left in the dust with all these monopolies dying and no real replacement. I hear this all the time, that there's no real replacement for X product, maybe for their use case. I have found personally a replacement for everything. Now, I don't do graphic design professionally, so maybe in their case, they're right. I don't do professional audio or painting or any of these products that are they need something quote unquote more feature rich, whatever. then if you want these and you want a better system and a better privacy system, or a better product where you know it's going to exist, buy, support your FOSS free and open source software products. Hand them your money. This is my theory. Instead of you handing $50 to fucking Adobe every month, take 10 of that. If you can go down to a low, I don't know what their pricing tier is. I know it's like very expensive though. Go down and take the difference and give it to like GIMP, something, and then continue as they get better and better. Start being less reliant on shitty product part two, and then go full in, and you're like, oh, this is great. Maybe they'll offer a lifetime subscription or something. I miss that. I generally have no issue paying for software. I have zero problem. I hate paying subscription fees. They are awful. Fuck them, unless they're reasonable. But 99% of the time, they're not. I'm trying to think of one that I ever had that was like even remotely good. I think that it's Proton. I mean, I pay for Proton. That's been the best subscription. That's been the best subscription I've had. And I get it. There are some industries that need a subscription to sustain themselves. I hate them, but I would rather give it to a company and them never have to sell my data and give me options. And people can be like Proton haters all they want. Whatever. I understand. I get it. But we need competition. There's Tutanota. There's Startmail. There's... There's so many... There's so many email providers that it's, I get it, it's, email is not private, but it's decentralized. It's a protocol. Email's a protocol. I can email anyone under the sun. If I own my own domain, it makes it even more portable. This is why Proton has made a point. He said, I listened to him interview, and the founder of Proton was like, I wouldn't do email today if you asked me. I would do something like Signal, which is awesome. You know, Signal Enjoyer, SimpleX Enjoyer, SMS, Telegram, WhatsApp Hater moment. But there is a need for email. It's still very prevalent, and I think... I don't know why, honestly, but whatever. It's still very prevalent. I think email does have a place for something. Sometimes, like receipts, like if I don't remember and I just I batch delete my email maybe like once every year. But there have been times where I was like, oh fuck, I have that in my email somewhere. And it saved me a couple times. I'm not gonna hate just on email. I understand that it's not perfect. It's never gonna be perfect. It was never written with privacy and super security in mind. It's, you know, we get it. But it's decentralized, and it's in a sense, it's very resilient. In a sense. And I think that's what, and then people did bring up the Bitcoin thing and said like, oh, why didn't you pick Monero? He kind of proved a point, pointed out something that I didn't think about. Bitcoin is resilient. PayPal almost didn't give Proton Mail, I think, their money. They were having an issue with it. And he kind of said that like, it's, it, to a nonprofit organization or a company that's going nonprofit or a company that relies on like donations and money, etc., and like funding and grants, blah blah blah, Bitcoin can't be blocked. It's code. It's decentralized. They can make it difficult, just like Monero, but it can't be blocked. It can't be impossible. It can be very annoying. But what's more annoying is when you have places like PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, all these fucking cum dumpsters being like, nope, we're gonna destroy your bank account, drop all your funding out, siphon it out, whatever, you know, whatever we want, because they have absolute control. And because these companies have absolute control, it makes it difficult to, and they make it difficult to make a living or have money. It's like you're kind of at the mercy of these monopolies and duopolies. Like, imagine if you started a company and they're like, we don't really care. We don't really like your politics or your perspective. We don't like how you're collecting money. I think there was, like, OnlyFans or, like, sex work creators that were pretty much, like, banned from getting money from some of these bigger platforms. Like, the Pornhub, like, creators. Preventing them or trying to pull out from them receiving funding. And I was like, that's fucking ass. It's just, I think that he said the point is like to make receiving money as resilient as possible, and I agree with that. I think that you should be able to find different avenues to always receive some form of money. Bitcoin, Lightning mainly, has been there for me when I needed to buy something. And for like whatever reason, my card was blocked, or I locked it, or my debit card is blocking my transaction because they think it's suspicious, stuff like that. And I just want the privacy of it. I mean, I use Monero for the privacy aspect. If I don't have cash and I want to do a digital transaction and they accept Monero, I would prefer Monero. I don't like carrying cash. I don't really like having cash on me. I mean, Monero's a little nicer. It's a little more portable. That's the point. And I think even when you make the conscious decision to, when you make these conscious decisions to increase your privacy, increase your less reliance on the overall monopoly of these bigger tech firms, I think it's ultimately a win. I'm not saying drop everything, because that'd be stupid. Like, if you have social media, make it more private. Stop putting out information out there that you don't want to be ingrained into the internet forever. And start convincing not only yourself, but your friends that, you know, privacy is more effective in herds, in groups, and more usage. The more, and I know people give Signal shit on giving stickers and stories and all that, but people care about this stuff, whether you like it or not. People like modern, clean looking interfaces, modern features like stories and stickers and all that other shit. Just sell them on that. If your mom, your sister, your brother, your cat, your dog, your friend, whatever, your uncle, don't even start with the privacy part. Just say, hey, Signal's kind of cool. You can send stickers and it's faster and it doesn't need cell service. You can do it over Wi-Fi. That's how I've convinced most people. And they're like, oh. Or, and then setting boundaries. I only talk to people through Signal. You need to set boundaries. If it matters to you, they will, they'll understand. And then after some time, as time goes on, you're like, oh yeah, this is end-to-end encrypted. This is no one can snoop on this. It's more private. It's better than SMS. And it's kind of like, iMessage or whatever. However you want to convince people, it's not as much as... Because sometimes when you start with the privacy and security approach, I've noticed people get a little like, they're like, oh, I don't care. Or they get a little scared in an unsexy way. And you're like, what? Well, okay. And then they just think you're crazy and then the conversation kind of goes nowhere. And they're like, oh, fuck. But I think that if you go in like a more normie approach, like I've switched people to Session this way, I've switched people to Signal this way. Sometimes people are just like, eh, I'm good. But I prioritize Signal, SimpleX, Session first. So like if people want to reach me through like SMS, I'm just like, oh, sorry. I don't look at my text messages, and then I'll like send them a Signal link or like a SimpleX, and they're like, oh, this is cool actually. And now I can get a hold of you. I think that's the best approach, is start setting boundaries and get people to be like, ah, man, I really need to get a hold of X, Y, and Z. Let me do that. Oh, wait, they only accept this. Man. And they'll eventually be like, this is great. Why haven't I done this? And I think... another aspect of privacy is walled gardens. Is people like, I don't care. I'm already stuck in this garden and I can't leave. I have 4 million memberships to X, Y, and Z. How am I going to function it? What's my alternatives? How can I cancel all my alternatives? Well, you're in luck. The FCC finally did something right for once. They did something called final click to cancel rule, making it easier for consumers to end recurring subscriptions and memberships. I know there's going to be some fucking stupid workaround for these fucking lunatics to do that. Have you ever tried to cancel something and it's like 32 pages and 86 steps? But it's going to be awesome. The rule will provide a consistent legal framework by prohibiting sellers from misrepresenting any material, dark patterns essentially, fact, while making goods and services with a negative option feature, as in cancel, failing to clarify and conspicuously disclose material terms prior to obtaining consumers' billing information connected with negative features. Essentially, they're going to make it super easy to click to cancel. Even if they put it in a different page, one different, like say it's one different page and they're like, there's your cancel, done. That's how it should be. One click to sign up, it should be one. If it takes me two clicks to sign up, it should take me two clicks to cancel. One click to sign up, one click to cancel. It should be that simple. If I don't like or value the service, or I don't see, or their policies change, or they get bought out by another company that sucks, I should be able to exit as easy as it was for me to jump on. I mean, look at the companies that sit there and get bought out, and then they end up being a bunch of demons. Now, I think this is a big W. I don't believe that there's really any downside, personally, but, you know, whatever. I just think that we need to kind of take a step back and evaluate, what do I need, what don't I need, and how not only getting people in the mindset of right to repair will lead to get people in the mind of privacy. It's kind of like, well, why should I fix my car when I can just buy a new car? Well, because, man, it's not only economically better for your pocket to just fix it most of the time, it also is better to force these manufacturers to design better products with you in mind. I think if you buy a good product and it lasts a long time, you want to go back to them. But if you have one bad experience, you just never want to see them again. And you're just hoping that it dies. And then when it does, you just move on. I think that's what changes people, is when they make good products that last a long time. I've definitely rebought stuff because it was so good. Maybe less frequently, but I still thought about them years later. I don't know. I think that it's something that has bothered me for a long time, is that not only these companies get away with ripping off the people, and the privacy aspect is just lying and getting consumers to think that privacy doesn't matter. It does. I hope that people start taking it more serious. Either get a password manager, email aliasing. It's so easy to set up now. Password manager, email aliasing, just new RSS feed instead of fucking breaking news where you're getting like 500 notifications of someone getting stabbed every 5 seconds. And definitely start looking at apps and see their permissions and see their data points, and just kind of be like, do I need this? If you don't need it, drop it and pick a free and open source alternative that could be life-changing. I've already ranted for 30 minutes. I'll be back the next time I have any thoughts. You guys have a good night.